Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 2. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from New Orleans, Louisiana. Sister Paula is not here yet, so I just looked and see no one was on. So I just open it up because I see others are here waiting. So let us begin with a word of prayer, and I can begin open the line for, and after I read, the Sabbath day restored. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, oh, we come before you, Father, so to be here upon the Sabbath day to come and host this line, Lord, while my sister will be coming shortly, but I'm here to open it for her. But now, Lord, as we come to you in prayer, Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us tonight, to be with us on this prayer line as we come to give you the glory, honor, and praise. Now, Father, as I lift up my voice to you, Father, I pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters as they touch one, press one, and to share. I pray that you be with each one and that they would just show and tell of the goodness that they have been through all this week and what you have done for them. So we thank you tonight. So bless us and keep us, Lord, while we are here to share your goodness. And I'm just asking that you bless Sister Carla. She may join us later, but I'm asking that you give us safe traveling mercy if she's traveling. And I'm also asking that you please, if anyone else of our brothers and sisters are coming home from their job, bless them also. And we thank you for all your blessings. And we do pray, bless this prayer line also. And we ask all this in the worthy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I will read the Sabbath day restored. And I want to just welcome my brothers and sisters after I read this this message here. And they say, I was shown in regard to the remnant people of God, taking a name, two classes were presented before me. One class embraced the great bodies of professed Christians. They were trampling upon God's law and bowing to the papal institution. They were keeping the first day of the week as Sabbath of the Lord. The other class, who were but few in number, were bowing to the great lawgiver. They were keeping the fourth commandment, the particular and the preeminent future of their faith were the observance of the seventh day, waiting for the appearing of the Lord from heaven. So brothers and sisters, as I read that, I just thank God for these two classes, and I'm so glad to be on this side. So I will begin to open the line. I just want to welcome my brothers and sisters first to Advent Light Ministry, and I pray that everyone, please press 1 and share. Now, while it's early, but you know there's a certain time that the minister will have his time. So we need everyone to share now. If you can press 1, we will open your line. Amen? So we're going to open the line for the first. Hold on. We have 518-650. Your line is open, and you could give and share your testimony or song. Amen?
Yes. Hello, good afternoon, good night, happy Sabbath to everyone on the line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany in New York. Please pray for me and my family. And I just want to thank God for keeping me, for guiding me, for protecting me from all harms and all danger, seen, evil seen and unseen. And I would like to sing a Sabbath song. Holy Sabbath day of rest, by your master richly blessed, God created and divine, set aside for holy time. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by your God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be, throughout all eternity. Seek not pleasures of this earth, with its follies, lies, and mirth. There are better things in store, over on the other shore. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by your God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be, throughout all eternity. As the Sabbath draweth on, Friday eve at set of sun, Christian household then should meet, sing and pray at Jesus' feet. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by your God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be, throughout all eternity. Asking him for saving grace, also victory in the race, and to help us by his power, to keep holy every hour. Yes, your holy Sabbath rest, by your God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be, throughout all eternity. And I am going to read Genesis 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Holy Sabbath day of rest. By our God divinely blessed, God created and divine, set aside for holy time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we come before you this holy Sabbath day. We are asking you for saving grace, O God, and to win victory in the race. Lord, you will help us by your power if we keep holy every hour. Please, God, forgive us of our sins. Wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Never leave us, Lord. Never forsake us. Always be near us to hear us when we cry. Because you is God and God alone, and there is no other God but you. You sit high and you look low. We are your people, O God. We are the sheep of your pastures. Help us to enter into your gate with thanksgiving, dear God, and into your courts with praise. Lord, be thankful unto us. Help us to be thankful unto you, O God, and bless your name, because you are good. Your mercy endureth forever. Thank you for your keeping care. Thank you for all you have been doing, O God, from we were born until now, before we were born until now. We come before you this holy Sabbath evening, asking you, Lord, to mold us and to fashion us into your likeness and to make us into what you want us to be. There's nothing we can do on our own. We are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. But God, because we have you, we can depend on you, God. With you, all things are possible. Lord, the things we're supposed to do, we are not doing, and the things we're supposed to not to do, that's what we do. But God, we are asking you to lead us and to guide us into the right path. Because you're a God of mercy, you're a God of truth, you're a God of love. Lord, you wish above all things that we should prosper and be in good health. And you wish that all of us should come to repentance. So we come before you this Sabbath day, O God, and this prayer line, Advent Light Prayer Line. You know each and every one that is on the line, O God, who are partaking and who that is listening in the background. God, we need your blessing. We need your hands upon us. So, Lord, anoint us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Create in us clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with your free spirit. Search us, O God, and know our heart. Try us and know our thought. And, Lord, if there be any wicked way in us, lead us in the way everlasting. Lord, use our refuge and use our strength. A very present help in time of trouble. Lord, help us to trust in you with all our heart and to lean not unto our own understanding. But in all our ways, Almighty God, help us to acknowledge you because you will direct our path. Lord, use our light and our salvation. And because you use our light and our salvation, we have nothing to fear, O God. Use our shepherd, we shall not want. But come to you as little children, O God. And you will mold us and make us into what you want us to be. Forgive us of all our unrighteousness. Forgive us of our sins. Lord, you have kept us from day to day, going and coming. You have protected us from evil, from danger, from all unrighteousness, O God. And Lord, we are here tonight to give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that is due unto your holy name. O God, touch every member of our body. Heal every member of our body. Sanctify and cleanse every member of our body. Mold us and make us into what you want us to be. Lord, we want to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. So, Jesus, we give ourselves completely to you. Have your way and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
We're going to break the bread of life tonight, O God. And as we speak, I speak, let he not be seen, but let you be seen in everything he do and say. Lord, continue to be with us. Continue to guide us, O God. Continue to have your way. Heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Open shelter for the homeless. Freely you receive and freely you give. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. I beg and I ask in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for the prayer and for the song and for sharing. It's truly a blessed Sabbath day, brothers and sisters. We want to give everyone enough time, so if you can limit, if you're just going to do a prayer or a song so that everyone can get enough time, and at the end we will have our prayer for everyone. So, again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening, starting off the line. God is good, and he's truly worthy to be praised. So we want to give everyone enough time. So if you can just limit your 3 minutes to share, brothers and sisters, we will really appreciate it. 518-482. Good evening. Happy Sabbath. Your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath to everyone on the line. I am very thankful to the Lord for my spare life and for more than the spare life. I just had a birthday yesterday, and it was so wonderful. The day was like a spring day. My daughter took me out, and it was nice. I really enjoyed the weather. And I had a very good day. So I just want to thank the Lord. My song today says, "Now just a word for Jesus. Your dearest, my dearest friend, so true. Come, cheer our hearts and tell us what he has done for me. And he has allowed me to see 80 years on this earth, and I am thankful and I'm grateful. And I just want to sing this little song. It pays to serve Jesus. No matter what, it pays to serve Jesus. And today is the Sabbath. This evening is the Sabbath, and I want to thank God. My tongue is not, I don't have words to express God's goodness towards me, and he has kept me. So I'm going to sing this song. The service of Jesus, true pleasures afford in him. It's joy without alone. It's heaven to trust him and rest in his ways. It pays to serve Jesus each day. Yes. It pays to serve Jesus whatever may be time. It pays to be true whatever you do. These riches of mercy in him to abide. It pays to serve Jesus each day. It pays to serve Jesus, it pays every day. It pays every step of the way. Though the pathway to glory may sometimes be dreary, you'll be happy each step of the way. Though sometimes the shadows may hang over me, and sorrows may come to beckon us home, our precious Redeemer is toiling with them. It pays to serve Jesus each day. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. Though the pathway to glory may sometimes be dreary, we'll be happy, we'll be happy each step of the way. And I'm just thankful to God for making me to see another Sabbath, another birthday, and I thank him so much. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Carlo. I wish everyone a happy, happy Sabbath, and that we all may live as long as God allows us to walk in his pathway. We all, he allows us to live so that we can praise him and glorify his name. Thank you, Sister Carlo, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath to all.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for amen. Sister Consonelli, happy birthday. Praise the Lord for another year that God have given you to praise him in your songs and in just you as a person and all that you do. And thank you for the song that you shared. And thank you for being all willing and, you know, a very present help here on this line and also in your community. Praise the Lord, my dear sister. Again, please press one if you would like to share. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Thank you for being with us here on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. I'll open the line for 985-647. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his inspiration and mercy. Thank him for being an awesome God. Thank him for blessing us during the week. I just want to read a devotion prayer. Thank you, Lord, for calling me from my slumber. Thank you not only for waking me to your truth, but by raising me from life in you. Lord, shine on me so that I may be fully alive and fully alert for your sake. And shine through me so that others may be called to new life in you, too. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Just want to thank the Lord for his marvelous work he gave us to read and to study and to be joyful of his love he sends us to read and to share and to praise him every day. And I just want to thank the Lord and ask for prayers for my bereaved family and our again-like family on and off the prayer line, all the missing members. And to happy birthday, Sister Continental. God bless her for another year. And just want to pray for all the other bereaved family, the ones in the hospital and all the four corners of the United States. And thank you, Sister Carl. My line, that'll be it for the night. I'll be the only one for the night. God bless you.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Happy Sabbath, Sister Brenda, Brother John, and family. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for also sharing. It's a pleasure to see my brothers and sisters as we come together on the line. But soon, if we're faithful, we will be together in heaven. And when the earth is made new again, who knows, we might be neighbor, but we won't be far away because we'll be able to see each other. We'll have this glorious body, and it will be so beautiful. So let us purpose in our heart to make it and ask God to help us. Amen. Thank you again for sharing. Again, welcome, my brothers and sisters. Please press 1 if you would like to share. I'll go to the line 518951. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved. This is Sister Powell. Happy Sabbath, Sister Carla. Thank you for opening my line. This is a blessed Sabbath night that we can come to join, to listen to the wonderful blessings that God has restored. Birthday party for my dear sister. Happy birthday. Although we do not celebrate birthday, but we celebrate our milestone that God has given unto us another day. So I wish you all the best, my dear beloved. My dear beloved, God is so good. He's so great. He gave us the Sabbath day here. Rest, if he did not give us this day of rest, what would we do? Where we would be? Because we would be just working up ourselves to actually death, that we can work to death, kill our own body. But God said, this is the day that he has created, and I am so grateful, thankful to him for what he has done on this Sabbath day. I have a praise report, my dear. I know I am not going to be long because eventually there I would like everyone to participate, Lord, on this line, everyone to come together on this line, because we are working towards going to heaven and also to do things in the best way that God wants us to do. So I would just share this little praise report to my brothers and sisters that God has his people everywhere, right? Despite of what or where we go, there is God's people. And we have to show the light in everything we do, to these individuals. Today I was at the passport office in Kingston, and it was very crowded, my dear. Had to sit down and wait. They didn't have the provision for the seniors, but eventually my granddaughter here, community granddaughter, she was so, kind and humble, and, she tries in every way, that we could get together and that, we would be there waiting so long. But anyhow, I came up to my time, called me, and we went up and we got through at one department. Then we had to go to another place. Then we had to go to another place, but it was on the same compound. Eventually, when that was the last place we went, now I had a health, one of those health flyers, and I took it out my bag, and I saw this young lady. And she was just looking at me and smiling and said, Grandma, she just said, Grandma, how are you doing? I told her, I'm doing well. And we had a conversation. And just as we finished the conversation, I opened my bag and I saw this health one I gave her. And she was there reading it and said, thank you, Grandma, for this. This is what I want. I'm so thankful for this, this flyers. So I am asking my dear beloved, I didn't take her name, you know, but God knows her name and how much, you know, this young lady is interested in the word of God, that she sat there and she was just reading herself. And then she said, thank you for that trust. So we are to be anywhere we are to be evangelizing. And our lifestyle, my dear beloved, right, that people should look upon us and see a lifestyle, our life of Christ within us, shining as a shining light. You know, we are the light of the world. So let us continue to follow Jesus. I thank him for everything he has been doing in my life and also evangelizing as the people that I met, and especially my precious children here, my dear beloved, so that I praise for to give God thanks of everything that he has done. And I have these little children here, and every evening they come from school, you know, they run in and they share their day activities at school. And, you know, even though they're looking for their little goodies and their little treats, you know, but they're so pleasant. So I'm asking you all to remember these children, not only these children in Jamaica, but these children all over the world, because they will be the leaders of tomorrow. And continue to pray for myself and my family member, and also remember to lift up Sister Leola and family who is mourning at this. God bless Sister Carla, and thank you for opening my line. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Paul, for sharing our testimonies. Really, I'll come back for prayer, Sister Paul, if that's okay.
Amen.
Our testimony is very important, brothers and sisters, because, you know, we're thanking God and we're sharing with others how God is using us or what God is doing in the life of others. So we won't be despondent or say we can't do it, or, you know, or just feel like we're the only one that's doing something. Not saying there's no competition, but sharing is caring, and we're just sharing how God is blessing us or blessing others and the mighty work that's going on in our, wherever we are. The work that God is doing through us, because he wants to use us. He said we are his disciple, we're his ambassador. So we have a work to do. We are peculiar unto the Lord. So praise the Lord. Amen. I'll go to the next caller again. Happy Sabbath. It's such a joyful time, brothers and sisters. Sister Leola has raised her hand, and after her, I'll share, because God is truly good. 225-337, your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Sabbath. Oh, I thank God for this prayer line. And sisters and brothers, I thank God most of all for his Sabbath. You know, when I first joined this church, when I first joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I said to myself, I'm not going to let no one lead me wrong. I'm going to study. I'm going to get me a dictionary. And I got all those things. And let me tell you. And as I read this first scripture about the Sabbath, and it was in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 12 through 14, but I'm not reading it all. So I'm just going to read one part of it. He said here that the repair of the breach, the restore the path to dwell in, and you know what that is. It's the Sabbath. He said, if thou turn thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then we will have delight in the Lord. So I'm going to stop there. But my point I'm making, when I begin and understand this Sabbath,
You know, sisters and brothers, we pray. We pray. We thank God. We have to go to God and ask, because God said, the Bible tells us we can't do nothing without him. So I got to go to him to ask him for help, for me to keep the Sabbath, for him to keep me, because we ourselves can't keep ourselves. So it's all the Father and his Son. He's keeping us. So I just wanted to sing a holy day, Jehovah rest, and I'm just going to do holy day, Jehovah rest. Holy day, Jehovah rest of creation week, the best, last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God to man was given. Welcome, glad we held his present blessed. Tis the great Jehovah rest. And I'm just going to stop there. I'm glad we held his present blessed, because this great Jehovah rest, he given to each and every one of us on this prayer line. As I will listen to Brother Ricardo, he sent the video, and I began to watch that video. And the things we're going to go through in this earth, it is good for us to know that great God, Savior Jesus Christ. Sister Carla, I want to thank you for opening my line, and may God bless everyone. And I love you, and God keep us during this Sabbath night. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing, Sister Leola. Thank you for sharing and for the song also. And just a reminder of what we're going to go through, but we shouldn't be afraid. We're not afraid, but we're just remembering. Just like the disciples, when Jesus told them what was going to happen to him, they forgot. And he had to, you know, when he rose again and went to heaven and came back and spent time with them, he said, didn't I told you these things were going to happen? I guess they didn't keep it in the forefront of their mind. Their mind was on earthly things or just whatever. But let us be reminded of what is going to happen to us so that we will not get discouraged. We will know that this truly must come to pass before the end. So let us stay faithful. Let us stay connected to God. He's soon to come, brothers and sisters, and he's truly worthy to be praised. I just had a blessed day this week through the snow and all. God brought me through another week. And today, as I coming back from helping my friends, we usually, preparation day before sunset, prepare food for the homeless. I was able to go and pick up loads of goods and, you know, salads and stuff like that, and pack everything in our cars. We pack stuff, and we go and share our Sabbath lunch with the homeless, and it's just a beautiful ministry. And just today, after we had our Sabbath worship, because I was on East Central Time, we had our Sabbath worship, and it was six children that I was studying with, and it was just a glorious time to study with these young people, actually seven. It was wonderful to study with them, and then my friend, she studied with the mom and with some the older adults. So it was just a blessing to be there and be worshiped together, and after that we had lunch, and then it was time for me to jump on the line. That's why I was coming on late, but I'm going to ask God to work it out. As we know, the time is getting, the day is going to be longer, so God is going to work it out, because I love this ministry. I love doing work for the Lord, and he has blessed us, each and every one of us, and he's blessing us to have a ministry, to contact folks, to pray with them, to study with people so that they can come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. So praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Anyone else wants to share? This is sharing time, brothers and sisters. I don't want to overlook anyone. Brother Cherry will be speaking tonight. Brother Vincent Cherry will be speaking tonight. So please press 1 if you would like to share. God is truly good, and he's worthy to be praised. And if there's no hands to share, I'll go to Sister Powell for prayer. I don't know if Sister Angelique is with you, if she shared already, Sister Powell. But again, please press 1. If you would like to share a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, if you have not shared it already. Okay, so I'll go to Sister Powell for a prayer. We might be able to have two prayers, but or we'll start the message early, so we have enough time. Amen. Sister Powell, your line is now open.
Yes, ma'am.
How can the light here with you? So I will just say to my dear beloved brothers again who joined late, happy Sabbath, you know, and we are going in prayer, dear, where we know this is the time, the opportunity that each one of us can bow there at our kneel and whisper a little prayer for this line. And before I pray, my dear Sister Carla, we have got a joyful moment yesterday. My daughter called me and she told me that she got a call from Brother Yudi asking for me. So she said, Brother Yudi said that he was talking his mom in Connecticut, and his mother to ask him, where is Sister Powell, when you hear from Sister Powell? And he says, you know, for quite a while. And the mother said to him, hang up the phone from talking to me now and get to Sister Powell, right? So he called Albany. He didn't know that I was in Jamaica. And he called Albany, and Sister Sophia told him that he was here. So he sent greetings to everyone and that the children grown. I didn't speak to him yet, but that's what he told. So Stephanie's children, them all grown, and he's gone back to work, and everything is okay. So I just thank God, my dear beloved, that we hear from Brother Yudi and that everything is all right. So we are going to ask you in your daily prayer to lift up Brother Yudi and his family in prayer. All right, my dear beloved, let us go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you this blessed Sabbath evening. We want to give you thanks for life, health, strength, Lord, providing, making way for us, allowing us to be obedient, to be on the field, evangelizing, helping the need out there, Lord, the needy ones, Lord, and to show them hospitality and also to be humble and loving and kind and tender-hearted with those out there. So we thank you for the work that you have given unto us as leaders, Lord, as your servant, as representative for you. We want to thank you. And most of all, dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this line that we can come together as one unifying body, people looking forward for your second coming, looking forward for when you come, that we all shall be caught up to meet you, whether we are asleep or whether we are alive, Lord, and also to help us that we can evangelize, to share your mercies, your blessings, to share your love, Lord, to those out there who do not know you. So we want to thank you. First, Lord, we want to thank you for comforting those who are mourning, our dear sister Leola and family members who are mourning, dear Lord, and other family members who are mourning, Sister Cancinelli. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless those who celebrate her birthday, another milestone. We want to give you thanks. Those who are on the field preparing, Lord, to go out there for the homeless, it is a joy. It's a pleasure, Lord, to do your will. So we ask you to give us the strength and to give us the light in our life that others will see and come to know you. This project, Lord Jesus, that you have allowed us, Lord, to be going out there to share
your words to others, Lord. Thank you for providing the means, Lord Jesus, the help that you have given unto us so that we can. So, Lord, we present all these things to you and the blessed Sabbath day that you have given unto your people, Lord Jesus, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and the joy that you have given unto us with comforting, to comfort us, Lord, and to love us, Father God, and to allow us, dear God, to know that the truth that you have given this little group, dear Father, to go out and share to the world, that we are all being obedient, each one from different homes, Lord. So we ask you, dear Father, to continue to bless us, Lord. Those who are struggling in our organization, dear Father, their needs, their basic needs, Lord Jesus, help them and help them to look and turn their eyes upon you, and help us, Lord Jesus, to be loving, kind, and patient, and give good advice, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be your light, dear Lord. Help us to know that, dear Father, that you are identify yourself as to us as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we just want to thank you. And now, dear Lord, you heard the request of all of us, Lord, those silent requests, those who are calling, dear Father, from other parts of the world, and they need, Lord, there is a need. We present them to you. You know each one, Lord. Now, dear Lord, we present the speaker to you, Father God. Hide him on the foot of the cross, Lord. Allow fresh bread from heaven will be coming, sharing to us, so that we will enjoy your words, dear Father, and that if we are doing things that should not be, Lord Jesus, ask you, Lord Jesus, to remove it from us. Block out everything that is not like unto you, so that we will accept the message, and the message will come clear, Lord Jesus, crystal, the water that you have promised us, Lord, the Holy Spirit, Lord. Pour your spirit upon your people. Touch our heart, dear Father, and allow us, Lord, to continue to praise you. We leave you with our life, every one of us life, Lord, we give unto you tonight. Bless us, we pray, and all our children and grandchildren, we lift them up to you. Bless us, Lord, where you are in the most holy sanctuary, interceding on our behalf, Lord, with that book open. Allow each one of us, Lord, when you come, that our name will be written into that book of life. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for that prayer. Brothers and sisters, I pray that all is well. Everyone have their Bible, Spirit of Prophecy, and also a notepad and something to write with, so that we can take down notes and share what we have studied, what we have read, what we have looked into, share it with others. Amen. We have some new individuals that join us. If you did not get to share, please press 1 so that you can really share before we open the line for Brother Cherry. He has important message to share with us, brothers and sisters. So please please press 1 so you can so that you can share. Okay. He's going to join us now. He has a number a little backwards because of the last time he was on, we were on the conference line. So praise the Lord. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Okay. Amen. I believe he's on. Brother Cherry, if you can press 1 so that I can open your line. If you can press 1 on your telephone keypad, indicated to me that this is you. I believe this said the first 4 numbers, 7, amen, 715-941. Your line is open, and this is Advent Light Ministry, and we're on Blog Talk Radio. Brother Cherry, last time we was on a conference line because this line was down, and we reached people in India, in Japan, China, Netherlands, Canada on this Blog Talk Radio. So your line is now open, Brother Cherry, and the floor is yours. God bless. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Carla. Good
Amen.
Evening.
Amen.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on again. Yeah, I saw the number, sister, and I'm like, uh-oh, I have the wrong number. Oh, no. Because I called earlier. I thought it was at 6 o'clock, and nobody was there. And I, did I get the wrong time? Maybe it was supposed to be 5 o'clock my time. But I realized we're in the same time zone, so it must be 7 o'clock. So praise the Lord, I made it. And I'm glad you all are here, those that are here. And those that will be coming in later, hopefully they'll be able to make it in. Sister Carla, do you record these meetings?
Record it on Blog Talk Radio, and then I will send it to you after 24 hours. I can share it. Amen.
Oh, nice, because I had some people that asked me about it, and I would like to tell them, you know, where they could go to get to hear. All right, praise
yes,
the Lord.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, thank you. All right, my friend. Excuse me. Heaven, I thank you so much for another Sabbath day, Lord. Thank you for blessing us through 6 days. Again, through the last week since the last Sabbath, Lord, this week has been, for many of us, a very difficult week, a very trying, perplexing, maybe stressful and maybe disappointing in many respects. But also, we have to give you thanks because we're here. So in spite of all the things that may have happened that discourage, lead us to feel like life just isn't going our way, we are still alive in the land of living, and we can praise you and worship you on your holy day. And for that, we give thanks. And, Lord, our spirit should be lifted up now because we made it through another Sabbath day. And I pray that you will please abide with us now, as a short study tonight will be, that you will open our minds and hearts to begin to study, that we might know what is your will and to do your will. Please, Lord, Father, send the Holy Spirit to be with us. Speak to each and every one of us, Lord, including myself, and especially because, Lord, it's not enough to just give a message, but we have to live a message. So I ask that you will please grant us the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friends, I have something I want to share with you tonight that I hope you will find to be a blessing to you. And I hope that it will cause you to do some serious soul searching and some researching so that you will know and understand what it is that God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, His Son, expects from us at this day and time in Earth's history. You know, I've asked people several questions, and they've asked me questions, and sometimes I don't get the answer that should come from their mouth. And I wonder, why do they not know the answer to this? I'm going to give you two issues, and I'd like to expound on these in the next couple of times that I share with you. So tonight is basically going to be like an introduction, okay? The first one is talking to a brother who lives in Kenya, and he said that, you know, we have to be ready we have to get the seal of God. And I said, that's absolutely right. You know, so many people today are focusing on the mark of the beast, Sunday, Sabbath, Sunday issue. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but what I'm saying is there's so much focus on that. They forget the corollary issue, and that is the seal of God. Because without the seal of God, if we don't receive that, you have no other choice but to receive the mark of the beast, period. Either you get the seal of God or you will get the mark of the beast. He said, yes, that's true, that's true. So I said, well, tell me, my brother, what is the seal of God and how do you get it? He said, well, and I imagine most of you are probably thinking in your mind right now, you're saying the seal of God is the Sabbath. And you are Right. It is. But, I shouldn't say but, however, the question is, how do you get it? You see, many of us assume that just because we stopped working a few hours ago and that we're not going to work for the next 24 hours until the sun sets tomorrow evening, that that's going to earn us the right to have the seal of God. And that's not true. There's more to it than that. And we've been told specifically what it is that God requires to prove that we are truly Sabbath keepers. Do you know what it is? Because if you don't know, if you cannot explain this to someone right now, then you're not going to get it because you don't know what it takes. There's a specific requirement that God has for his people in order to receive the seal. Remember, the seal is a sign of his ownership. It's like I bought some pears the other day. Beautiful. Oh, my friend, I love pears. I love pears. And my granddaughter, I taught her how to eat a pear, just kind of a little tradition thing we do. And I get the pear. I put them in the refrigerator to let them get a little cool after they're ripe. And I always buy them green and let them ripen. I put them next to a banana, and it helps them to get ripe. And then I put them in the refrigerator, and then I cut them up, take the core out, take the stem off the top, and a little thing on the back where it was, you know, and then I slice it, and then we put them on a saucer, and I arrange them a certain way in a pattern, and then we eat them. But we don't just grab them to eat it. And I did this when she was a little girl. She's 17 now. She's about to graduate from high school this year. And I said, I called her Pumpkin. I said, Pumpkin, this is how you enjoy a pear, because this is the best fruit God ever made, as far as I'm concerned. I said, you have to close your eyes when you bite it, and you smell it first. You smell it, and then you bite it, and then you just relish the flavor and the juice as it begins to fill your mouth as you chew on it. You savor that flavor, and you hit a little tinge of tartness, or not bitterness, but, you know, a little sting of the acid, and it just excites your taste bud, and then you feel the sweetness, and then when you drink it down, that nectar is so good. I said, can you feel it? And she said, yes, Poppy, I can feel it, Poppy. And so what she does is, one time, this is my youngest daughter's child, she said, Mommy, we need to eat pears, but we have to eat them the way Poppy does, because that's the best way to enjoy them. Okay, and that's just something I made up to do with her. But, you know, those pears, there's different kinds of pears, and I pick a special kind I really, really like. I like Bosch pears and Jiangsu pears. Those are my favorites. And there's other kinds. There's Comus pears. There's so many. But, you know, they put these little tags, these little labels on them, you know, and it tells you what kind of pear it is and where it came from and everything. It tells you if it's GMO or not, you know, and whether it's organic. And that's the ownership of the company who produces this fruit. Well, you know, we're supposed to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, are we not? And one day God is going to look to see if we have that fruit. And if we do, guess what? He will put his stamp of approval on us, his seal. It shows his ownership. But you have to meet certain criteria in order to receive that seal. It's not just that you are a Sabbath keeper, just like it isn't just a pear, because there's many different types of pears, but there's something peculiar about that pear. And there's something peculiar about the people who claim to be of God. Now, we need to be very clear on what that is, because, as I said earlier, if you don't meet those requirements, then you cannot receive the seal. Am I talking about works? No, I'm not. I'm talking about walking by faith and meeting all of God's requirements. That's what I'm talking about. And anybody who thinks that all you have to do is just say you believe and have faith, that's not enough. The Bible said that it talks about those great people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. If you read, every one of them demonstrated their faith by what they did. They did something to prove that they trusted God. And the Bible says Abraham, he said, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, the things that he did. And God said, I know he's a righteous man. And he's one of the great leaders of faith. In fact, he's called the father of the faithful. Right? Okay, so let's not let anybody fool us into thinking, oh, if you say you got this and that, then you're talking about legalism and works. No, I'm not at all. And you know, I just turn people off who talk like that. I say, you know what? you don't know what you're talking about, because even in the natural world, when you tell somebody you love them, do you go around doing everything you can to upset them and to discourage them and to, you know, cause them to not trust you? No, you do everything you can to satisfy and please them because you love them. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? You will keep my commandments. And the Bible says, and his commandments are not grievous. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. So the law is good. It depends on how you look at it, how you view it. You have to realize the law of God is the standard of his character. What God is telling you and I when he says, thou shalt not, he's saying that if you follow me, if you let me into your heart, you will not worship other gods. You will not take my name in vain. You will not bear false witness. You won't steal. You won't kill. You won't commit adultery. You won't break the Sabbath. You won't covet your neighbor's house or his wife or anything. You will not dishonor your parents because my spirit is in you. It will change your character. That's what the Ten Commandments is. It is an outline of what a person's life and character will be if you let Jesus into your heart. That's what the Ten Commandments are. That's the rule of heaven. That's the government of heaven. And so anybody who tries to get you to not listen to that, they don't want you to enjoy God's presence. They don't want you to go to God's kingdom. They want you to burn in hell and be destroyed forever. And again, I said destroyed forever, not burn forever, destroyed forever. What's the message for tonight, my friends? So that was the one thing. I asked a person about the seal, and he couldn't answer me. And I said, brother, you got part of the answer. The second one that someone asked me just a couple days ago, he said, what do you think about, and he asked me about a certain Adventist pastor. And I said, I don't know what you mean by what do I think about him. I don't know him personally. All I know is what he's done in public, and I know that he at one time, this person had a burgeoning ministry. He was all over the place, you know, traveling and had his own broadcast TV thing and everything, travel. It was mobile and everything. I said, then he quit, and he recanted a lot of stuff that he said, even though what he said was true, but he recanted it because he wanted to get back in good favor with denominational leadership. I said, but I understand now that he's gone back the other way. I said, I don't know him. I said, I even went to school with him at Loma Linda. I know him because he was there. I used to see him all the time. I know who he is, but I don't know him personally. So I'm not going to say anything. And then he asked me about someone else, a minister, very well known. And I said, I don't know him. I've only seen a couple of videos. I said, he did speak one time at my home church in San Diego. And I was young. I think I was like 15 or 16. That was a long time ago. My goodness. That was a long time ago. And I said, I remember it. I said, but I know that he was president of Oakwood for a while and other things. And, I've heard some of his sermons on recording, and I was really blessed by them. But I don't know him personally. So I cannot tell you, you know, what I think of him. I just tell you what I've heard him speak is a blessing. He said, well, I really enjoyed him because he gives a straight testimony. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, brother, can I ask you a question? What is the straight testimony? Silence. So I typed to him. I said, brother, can you tell me, what is the straight testimony? His response was the three angels' message. And I had to push the button. I didn't really do it, but in my mind. And I said, no, brother, that's not it. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, no, that's not it. That's the three angels' message. That's different. Straight testimony is something different. And I said, once again, many of our people do not know what they're supposed to know. They utter cliches and hackneyed comments. They don't know what they're talking about. So if they had to stand up and defend their faith and what they believe and why, they could not do it. They couldn't do it. He said, well, what is it? I said, my brother, you preach, right? Yeah. I said, how do you get up in front of people and preach present truth and you don't know what it is? How can you do that? Are you standing there telling them, and please don't get me wrong, I've known this brother for a long time, so I can speak very candidly with him. And he and I, we can talk to each other plainly without, you know, sugarcoating or anything. Not that we attack, but we just speak very plainly. I said, brother, are you getting up there just telling jokes and stuff? Or are you bringing a straight message? Are you telling the truth? Are you giving it to them straight? Are you giving them milk? Or are you giving them meat? Or are you giving them vomit? Yeah, the Bible talks about vomit on the table. You know, the table of showbread. He said some people go to church and they don't even get stale bread. They get vomit. That's pretty nasty. That's in the scriptures. So the brother said, well, what is the straight testimony then? I said, brother, you need to read, because the Bible, we're told plainly what it is. I said, you need to read in the testimony, I believe it's volume 3, the Laodicean Church. I said, and it will refer you to a scripture, and that is the straight testimony. And we're told that message, depending on how we receive it, will determine whether you will be saved or whether you will be lost. How you receive that message, you have to make a choice when you hear that message. You're either going to accept it or you will reject it. It's that simple. I said, and you cannot talk about something and you don't know what it is. And something of that magnitude, you better understand it before you say anything. So he said, well, can you just tell me? I said, no, I'm not going to tell you. I just told you where you can go read it. Why did I do that? Because, can I explain to you? Please. I didn't just tell him. You know why? Because he really doesn't want to know. Because if he wanted to know, he would say, well, let me go read it right now. You know why? Because that way, when he sees it with his own eyes and comprehends it as he's reading it, it stays cemented in his memory. He will know this is where it's at. If I ever have to talk to someone, I can take him straight to this and show him what it is and explain it. But he didn't want to do that. So he goes, well, you need to tell me real quick, tell me real fast, because I'm getting ready to go into a prison to visit someone. I said, I tell you what, I'll wait till you come back. Let me know when you're done. So a couple hours go by. He comes back. Okay, all right, go ahead and tell me. I said, no, brother. I said, do you have the testimony? Of course I do. I said, okay, well, go grab one. Go grab volume 3 and read what it says, and you will know for sure. And he goes, why can't you just tell me? I said, because I think you need to know for yourself. You want to know, then go find out. I said, it won't take you long. It won't take you more than 15 minutes. Depending how fast a reader you are, then you will know. I said, but once you start reading, you're going to read the whole section. It's a few pages. It's not very long. That was 2 days ago. I messaged him this morning and asked him, had he read it yet? No response. See, this is why I didn't tell him, because I knew he didn't really want to know. Now, maybe he'll get to it later on, but I'm under the impression, my brothers and sisters, that if you want to know the truth, you don't dilly-dally. You don't wait. You get right to it, especially if you ask somebody the question because you want to know, and you're running around telling people that so-and-so preaches a straight testimony, and you don't know what it is, then how in the world do you believe he gave a straight testimony? You don't even know what it is. That's insane. That is utter madness. I couldn't understand that. So I'm waiting for him to answer me. Now, the last thing I want to tell you about, a friend of mine I went to college with, he told me his nephew is studying at Loma Linda, what they call La Sierra University now. It used to be Loma Linda La Sierra campus. Now it's La Sierra University. He's studying. He wants to be a minister. And he said that his nephew had a class with one of the professors there in the religion department who says that There's nothing wrong with the papal system, that we should stop speaking against it because they are our friends. They've changed, and you know, everything's cool and like that. And I said, what? I said, no, brother, that's not true. He said, well, I said, you know, that is wrong. That is 100% wrong because they don't change. No, this guy needs to be fired. And so I said, we have to remember that we are Protestants, you know, and so we did that discussion. And so the question was, what is a Protestant? And that's what I'm going to pick up tonight. What is a Protestant? Where does it come from? What is it all about? Let me just give you a few short responses to that question. And I hope that as we go through this, or even now, you're asking yourself the question, am I a Protestant? It's not enough to just say you are. You have to live like one. You have to think like one. You have to act like one and act upon your conviction of what it means to be a Protestant or a Protestant. And you ask yourself the question, is this a Christian stance, yes or no? I can show you from the Bible, and you should be able to show anybody from the Bible, Protestantism is a biblical principle. And you can easily do it with one verse of Scripture. That's all you need, one verse of Scripture. But there are more than one, but the one in particular even uses the word. Did you know that? Yes, it even uses the word. And it's conjugated in different ways. And it's in the Old Testament. We read in the book, Great Controversy, I'm going to read from Volume 4, Spirit of Prophecy, which is the original Great Controversy edition. So I like the way it's worded in here. The newer Great Controversy version, it doesn't quite have the snap that this one does. The chapter is Chapter 9, The Protest of the Princes. It says, one of the noblest testimonies ever uttered for the Reformation was a protest offered by the Christian princes of Germany at the Diet of Spires. The courage, faith, and firmness of these men of God gained for succeeding ages liberty of thought and of conscience. Their protest gave to the Reformed Church the name of Protestant or Protestant. Its principles are the very essence of Protestantism. Question those principles. Can you define them now? Can you delineate them? What does it mean to be a Protestant? What are the principles that Protestantism is based upon? Can you do that? Don't call yourself a Protestant if you don't know what it means to be one. Don't do that because I would make ourselves look foolish. You say, are you a Protestant? Well, yeah. Well, what does that mean? I remember I talked to a guy when I first moved here to Wisconsin. I was living way up north. It was really cold. And lots and lots and lots and lots of snow. I live in the southern part of the state now. And I remember talking to the guy in the store, and he asked me something about what we believe, and I told him Seventh-day Adventist. They're a Protestant, you know. He says, oh. I said, what church you go to? He said, oh, I go to a Lutheran church. I said, oh, you're a Protestant too? He goes, what's that? I said, you know, Luther, Protestant Reformation, you know. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. This guy's like 30-some-odd years old. And he didn't even know what. He didn't even know who Martin Luther was. On top of that, he just said, I'm Lutheran. I said, well, Martin Luther. He goes, who's that? I said, Martin Luther, you know, the reformer. And, you know, the church is named after him. He didn't get it. We have to understand what the principles are. It goes on to say this. This starts on page 156, by the way. It says, the evangelical princes in attendance at the diet were forbidden even to have the gospel preached in their dwellings. It says, but the people of Spires thirsted for the word of God, and notwithstanding the prohibition, thousands flocked to the morning and evening worship still held at the chapel of the Elector of Saxony. Then it goes on to talk about the crisis that took place, and these princes, remember, they were the rulers of the time in Germany. They were Protestant. They accepted the Protestant faith, and they were called to another meeting at the diet of Worms. It's pronounced Worms. It was spelled Worms, but it's pronounced Worms. Okay? And there, Frederick of Saxony, who was Luther's former protector, had been killed. But the Duke John, his brother, he said, I'll protect these guys. And so he gave them safe passage to go to this meeting. So they went to the Edict of Worms, okay? And this is what happened there. This is just, I'm just going to read a few comments about what it says here. It says, they had a decree at the Diet of Worms. They said there would be no new preaching about the disputed points by these so-called Protestants. The celebration of the Mass would not be opposed, and that no Roman Catholic should be permitted to embrace Lutheranism, okay? So that was the three things they basically said, we want you guys to adhere to. And they said no. In fact, they understood that liberty of speech would be prohibited. There would be no conversions would be allowed, and that these restrictions and prohibitions would be required at once to be submitted to, and they said no way. They understood that if they were to accept these conditions, the reestablishment of the papal hierarchy would inevitably cause a revival of the ancient abuses, and occasion would readily be found for completing the destruction of a work that had already been shaken by fanaticism and dissension. What is to be done was the question they asked. Mighty issues for the world were at stake. Mighty issues for the world were at stake, friends. And it says, if they were to give in to this, then liberty of conscience would be wrestled for all the world. They understood that by taking their stand, if they didn't remain firm, not only would the people of Germany not be allowed to practice liberty of conscience, but the entire world, because papacy would gain control once again. And they said, let us reject this decree, said the princes, page 159. In matters of conscience, the majority has no power. To protect liberty of conscience is the duty of the state, and this is the limit of its authority in matters of religion. Every secular government that attempts to regulate or enforce religious observances by civil authority is sacrificing the very principle for which the evangelical Christians so nobly struggled. These men held to the Holy Scriptures as superior to human doctrines and requirements, and they knew that an acceptance of this principle would eventually overthrow the papacy. That's on page 161 of the same book. And this is what they said. After all the things was presented, when they drew up all the declarations and told them what they could and could not do, what they would allow, what they would not allow, they put to these men and said, now, what are you going to do? Are you going to adhere to this or not? And they responded this way. Listen to what they said. Excuse me. This is on page 161 of the Protest of the Princes, Volume 4, Spirit of Prophecy. This is what they said, quote, we protest by these presents before God, our only creator, preserver, redeemer, and savior, and who will one day be our judge, as well as before all men and all creatures, that we and our people neither consent nor adhere in any manner whatever to the proposed decree in anything that is contrary to God, to his word, to our right conscience, or to the salvation of our souls. We cannot assert that when Almighty God calls a man to his knowledge, he dare not embrace that divine knowledge. There is no true doctrine but that which conforms to the word of God. Did you catch that? There is no true doctrine but that which conforms to the word of God. Reading on. The Lord forbids the teaching of any other faith. The Holy Scriptures, with one text explaining by another and plainer texts, are in all things necessary for the Christian, easy to be understood and adapted to enlighten. We are therefore resolved by divine grace to maintain the pure preaching of God's only word as it is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments without anything added thereto. This word is the only truth is the sure rule of all doctrine and life and can never fail or deceive us. He who builds on this foundation shall stand against all the powers of hell, whilst all the vanities that are set up against it shall fall before the face of God. We therefore reject the yoke that is imposed upon us, unquote. A deep impression was made upon the Diet. The majority were filled with amazement and alarm at the boldness of the protesters. The future appeared to them stormy and uncertain. But the reformers, assured of the justice of their cause and relying upon the arm of omnipotence, were full of courage and firmness. And it goes on to say a whole lot more, and I'm not going to read it all right now. It says, it rejected also the arbitrary power of the church and set forth the unerring principle that all human teaching should be in subjection to the oracles of God. Not some human teaching, all of it is subject to the word of God. Do you get that? That is very, very important. That is very, very important. And the great principle, the great Protestant principle, if you haven't got it yet, I'll give it to you. It says it right here on page 164. The great Protestant principle, dash, quote, the Bible and the Bible only as the rule of faith and duty. That's it. That is the great principle of Protestantism. It's the Bible and the Bible only. And then you should read on to the end. It says this, the very last page, 169, it says this. The Protestant reformers had built on Christ, and the gates of hell could not prevail against them. What did they protest, you might ask? Well, we kind of read some of it, but they protested against the abuses and the false teachings of the church. And remember, Luther did the same thing when he wrote the 95 Theses and nailed them under the wall on the door of Wittenberg Cathedral. And he gave 95 things that they were doing that was wrong. And he said, I protest against these things. I speak out against it. And for that, he was brought to court, and they tried to kill him several times because of that, because he let it be known that what they were doing was wrong and that they needed reform. These Protestant men were just saying, we need to reform. We need to stop doing these things we're doing that are not right. How much time do I have, sister? Sister, are you there?
Yes.
Hello?
Sorry, I was on mute until, yes, I was on mute until 9 o'clock, 30 more minutes, about 30, well, 25 okay. Is for questions, but until 9. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you. All right, let me put my timer up here so I don't go over. All right, so friends, I hope that you caught what I'm trying to convey at this point in time. Now, remember, what it says here is that their principles were based on or built on Christ, okay? Now, the question is then, when did Christ protest? Was he a Protestant? Did he do like they did and condemn the false teachings and things of the people in his day? And the answer is yes, he did. In fact, I'm sure you're all familiar with this. So I don't even need to bring it up, but I'm going to just to prove the point because it's necessary. And we know that this is true because we read Matthew chapter 23. And Jesus very plainly rebuked the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. That whole chapter was about that. And he kept saying, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You're blind, you're this, you're that. You do all these things you're not supposed to do. Jesus was protesting against those things. You understand? So you should read chapter 23 of Matthew again, because what happens with most Christians, they only want to talk about when Jesus healed people and he was hugging the babies and all these things. But they don't want to talk about the times when he said, people, you're doing wrong and you need to get your act together. He didn't say it that way. I'm giving a common vernacular. But you know what I mean. He came straight forward. John the Baptist did the same thing. So did Elijah and many, many other faithful men of God. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, when he came down, they were out there partying, having this massive orgy, worshiping that golden calf. He said, who is on the Lord's side? Come over here to me. He denounced their wickedness. He protested against them and said, if you want to be with the Lord, you come over here. If you want to stay over there with them, then stay there. And guess, you know what happened. You know what happened at the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And over again, God has had people who would protest against the wickedness of what his people were doing. You see, we all have a tendency to think that Protestantism only focuses on the other churches, the other guys. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It's God's people where the protest goes. Remember, for Luther and them, that was the only church they knew back then. There were no other churches. It was only Catholicism. And they protested against the church that they were a part of. But things have changed. We have multiple denominations and organizations now, and to be a true Protestant, you would protest against any of them that are not doing what God says to do. Now, just so you will know that what we just read in the Great Controversy is true, where the statement again, I'll read it again, the Protestant reformers had built on Christ and the gates of hell could not prevail against them. What they were doing what Jesus did. They were just continuing his work. And when Jesus condemned the scribes and the Pharisees and hypocrites, what did he say at the very end of chapter 23? He said this to them. He told them this. Listen. Verse 38. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Do you understand what he's telling them? See, we read these things and we don't really appreciate. I'm not saying you, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about the vast majority of Christians and even Seventh-day Adventists. You don't get the impact of what Jesus is telling these people. You have to remember the Jews were God's chosen people to represent him to the rest of the world. They were to carry the light of the truth to all the nations of the world, and had they lived up to that light that God gave them, the Bible said the nations would have flowed to them and said, let's go to these wise people. They have the law of God. They know the truth. Let's go to them and learn about their God because they have the truth, but they didn't do that. Instead, you know what they did? They started practicing the things that the evil people did. They began to sacrifice their children to idols where they would burn them and eat them. They were literally cannibalizing their own children. They had orgies. They had LGBTQ, and that they went so far as to even have the houses of the sodomites, which was the gay guys. They had little rooms right on next to the sanctuary so people could go there and pay to, you know, with these guys and then go to church after that on Sabbath. Did you know that? It's right there in the Bible. They called the house of the sodomites. They said they were hard against the sanctuary. They actually had prostitute houses or rooms right there in the sanctuary. Children of Israel, the select people of God. You understand? Okay? And then when the prophets would come and preach against that, you know what happened? The Bible says Jesus said they killed them. They killed them. They killed them because they didn't want to hear the truth. And because these men protested against that stuff. And, you know, and Jesus even said in verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. They killed the people that tried to get them to do right, to protest against the wickedness. That's what happened. To be a Protestant, my friends, let me say this, hasten to say this now. To be a true Protestant, you put your life on the line. Melanchthon, who was one of Luther's companions, one of the most faithful men that he had, he said, if a man decides to follow Christ, you must expect death at any hour. If you resolve to follow Christ, you can expect death at any hour. That's what it will take. That's the price. That is the reality of the situation. The servant is not greater than his Lord. No way. If they kill Jesus, you think they're not going to try to get you? And by the way, let me ask you a question. Please think about this carefully. Who killed Jesus? Who condemned him? Who asked for him to be murdered? Who asked for him to be killed? Was it the Romans or was it his church members? You know the answer to that question. The only thing the Romans did was carry it out. but the sentence and the accusations and the call for his death came from his church. You need to think about that, because as we go further into this, you're going to find out a parallel. Now, let me read this quotation to you. Listen to this very carefully. Remember, it says the Reformers built on Christ. The following I'm going to read is found in the Review and Herald, volume number 2, page 48. I'll say it again. Please write this down and go back and read this for yourself. Review and Herald, volume 2, page 48, dated June the 1st, 1886. Okay? This is what it says. Quote, Christ was a Protestant. What? That's what it says. Christ was a Protestant. I'm going to read on. And I'm not going to interrupt. I'm just going to read straight through. Quote, he protested against the formal worship of the Jewish nation, who rejected the council against themselves. The council against themselves? Uh-oh. He told them they taught for doctrine the commandments of men, and that they were pretentious and hypocrites. Like whited sepulchres, they were beautiful without, but within full of impurity and corruption. The Reformers date back to Christ and the apostles. They came out and separated themselves from religion of forms and ceremonies. Luther and his Reformers did not invent the Reformed religion. They simply accepted it as presented by Christ and the apostles. Did you catch that? Protestantism did not start with the protests of the princes in Germany. It started with Jesus. And Jesus says, I am that I am. He's always has been, always will be. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Now, remember I told you that you will find this in the Bible, the word protest or protesting or protested. It's in the Bible. Question, Brother Cherry, where can I find that? I think you're just making up stuff. Nah. I'll tell you where you can find it. Write this down. It's found in the book of Jeremiah. And you've probably read this before. I'm sure you have, but it didn't quite click. It's Jeremiah chapter 11 with verse 6. It says, then the Lord said unto me, this is Jeremiah speaking, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. Verse 7, for I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, nor but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. There it is. God himself said, I protested against them. Early in the morning, I protested. I was protesting. Obey the truth. Remember, the Protestant principle is the word of God and the word of God only. Do you see, friends? It's right here in the Bible. Protestantism is a biblical principle. It's right there. And so what does that mean? To protest. It means to speak out against error wherever you find it, and especially among God's people. Now, what does that have to do with the seal of God, you may be asking yourself, because I mentioned that earlier. Because if you don't protest, you won't get the seal. If you don't protest, you will not get the seal of God. You know why? Because you say it's Sabbath, yes, but there's something going wrong with the way the Sabbath is being observed by God's people today. I wish I could show you some videos where they have the church and they're playing music, That's Janet Jackson and a group called Naughty by Nature. They're actual music, but they just changed the word. They just have a music track playing. But they're dancing the same way Janet Jackson dances, and the same way that Naughty by Nature, they don't really dance, they just rap. But the song that they're doing it to is a very evil, it's a nasty song. I'm not even going to say what it is. It's just it's that bad. But the Janet Jackson is What Have You Done For Me Lately? And they're dancing the way she did when she does the actual concert. And this is at 11 o'clock hour, I believe 11 o'clock hour, in the church. Even if it is an 11 o'clock hour, I go back and check and be sure. I think it is, though. I'm not sure. They're on the podium. They're up on the podium doing it. Dancing. Not just bouncing. They're dancing to Janet Jackson's music in God's house on his holy Sabbath day. That's just one example. I got like four or five. This is what's going on in church on the Sabbath. You know, Nehemiah did something very important. He protested against the false practice that was going on in Jerusalem at the time they were rebuilding the wall. You remember that? Do anybody remember what he was doing? Remember they were rebuilding the wall? They were told they could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. And while he was there, remember, the worldly people were coming out there outside the wall. And they were selling goods on the Sabbath, right? And so he went out there and told them. He said, he went to the leaders of Israel, and he rebuked them and got on their case for allowing these guys to come out there and sell on the Sabbath day. So he went to the leaders and told them they were wrong, they shouldn't be doing that. And this is found in Nehemiah chapter 13. It says, verse 15, in those days I saw in Judea some treading wine presses on the Sabbath day and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I testified or protested against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware and sold on the Sabbath day unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, the leadership, and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do to profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath? He says, look, do you realize the reason why this wall is torn down and we got taken out into Babylonian captivity is because you broke the Sabbath, your fathers, and you're doing the same thing again? Are you lost your mind? He said, I testified against them to the leadership. Why are you allowing this? So you know what he did? Nehemiah, he went and he told them, shut the gate. Don't let anybody come in here until the Sabbath is over. That's in verse 19. And then verse 21, he says, then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? So what happened was when he told these people from Tyre and stuff, you can't come in here, they were hanging around outside waiting for the gates to open on the Sabbath. They're sitting out there on Sabbath waiting. And the people could hear them out there because they're goats in there. Their camel stuff was bleeding. And they said, oh, they're out there. They got goodies. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to go out there and get me this and get me that and get me this. Their mind was completely off the Sabbath, friends. They were worried about something else. It's like today they have Mother's Day Sabbath, Father's Day Sabbath, Pathfinder Sabbath. Instead of the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, it's the Sabbath of everything else you can think of but God. How are you going to keep the Sabbath holy when your mind isn't even on the Lord God himself? You can't. And so Nehemiah told them, he said, this is what he said, verse 25. He says, he says this, verse 19. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened until after Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gate that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then listen to this. Verse 21 says, then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the house, about the wall? Or what you doing hanging around here in front of the wall? And this is what he says. If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. Nehemiah wasn't playing. He said, if you do this again, you come around here again during the Sabbath hours, hanging around here, waiting to get in here, he said, I'm going to put my hands on you. He said, I will lay hands on you. You know what that means? Look it up. When he say, I'll lay hands on you, that means I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to handle you. It said, from that time forth came no more on the Sabbath. Ellen White commenting on that says, that was true Sabbath reform. And because he did that, God approved of what he did. And remember, he was threatening these people. He was threatening them, and he meant what he said. You come back here again, I'm going to deal with you. He didn't say, I'm going to talk to you. He said, I will lay hands on you. Are you following me? It's right there in the Bible. I will lay hands on you. Out of here. And we're told this one last thing I'm going to say as we talk about the seal and mark of God. Sister White says plainly about Nehemiah that God's true people, those who receive the seal, will do like Nehemiah did and practice true Sabbath reform. What did he do? He went to the leadership first and told them they were wrong for allowing these things. He went straight to the top and said, you guys, you have the authority to have this stuff discontinue, and you're not doing it. Haven't you realized the reason why we're in the situation we're in? Because our fathers did the same thing you're doing now, nothing, allow it to happen. Then he said, okay, they're not going to do that. I'll just take matters in my own hands. I have to deal with it myself. And so he went and told them, if you come out here again, I'll lay hands on you. The servant of the Lord tells us this. Read volume 5, Testimony, the chapter, The Seal of God. Read it. And she refers us to Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. She says, study the 9th chapter. She didn't say read it. She said, study the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. You all remember the 9th chapter of Ezekiel, don't you? And if you've forgotten what the 9th chapter of Ezekiel is about, you need to familiarize yourself with it before you go to bed tonight. The 9th chapter of Ezekiel follows the 8th chapter. The 8th chapter of Ezekiel, God shows the prophet the wickedness that was taking place in Israel, especially in his temple. Because outside and inside of the temple, they were worshiping demons. They're worshiping the devil. This is God's people, not the worldlings. These were people who said they were, basically, if I could use a modern term, they were Seventh-day Adventists. Essentially. Because the term means Advent of Christ and keeping the seventh day, right? But, of course, for our time, it's the second coming, not the first. It's still Advent. And they were weeping for Tammuz, which is the son of the sun god. Inside the temple, the elders had incense burning in this secret chamber inside the temple of God, and they were worshiping these images on the wall. They were representation of the demon gods that they worshiped in the pagan system. This is in God's house, not outside somewhere else. They were in God's house doing this. And then the last thing the Lord showed the prophet was that there's 25 men that had their back toward the temple of God with their faces toward the east, and they were on the porch. They were actually standing in the temple somewhere outside, or in the porch part. They were between the porch and the altar, which means they were inside the building. They were worshiping the sun. Sun worship. These were people who were supposed to be keeping the Sabbath. And he said, hast thou seen this, O son of man, the abomination that they do here? And then in Ezekiel 9, Jesus comes to the door, and he tells these angels to put their slaughter weapons on. And one angel, he said, you take a writer's ink horn, fill it with ink, and you go throughout the midst of the city and put a mark upon those only that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that will be done in the land. If they're not sighing and crying, not for a few, but for all of them, don't give them the mark. Only those who sigh and cry for all the abominations, they get the mark or the seal of God. They're the true Protestants. They protest what was going on that was not of God. They were following the example that God said in Jeremiah, you see. These are the ones that we read about in the book of Revelation, where the angel says, hold, 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 till we seal the servants of our God in their foreheads. In Ezekiel 9, where's that mark put on? On their foreheads. Now, there are some people say, oh, what's the name of that group? Shepherd's Rod. You're a Shepherd's Rod. No, this is Spirit of Prophecy says this, okay? It has nothing to do with Shepherd's Rod. Their perverted teaching is that they're going to do the actual slaughtering. No, see, so the wife said angels are going to do it, okay? They're not angels. This is very real. She said this will literally fulfilled. Only those who sigh and that cry for all the abominations, those who protest, true Protestants, will receive the seal of God. How many people get sealed? You know the answer to that. And it's a literal number. It's not a make-believe number. It's not a symbolic number. Early Roddy says it's 144,000 in number, plain English. I want to be one of those. I don't know about you. My friend, I want to be a true Protestant. You know why? Because in the day and hour in which you and I live right now, it is necessary. When we had a former president of the General Conference in Supreme Court say that we no longer protest against Rome, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but under sworn testimony, he said, as a church, we do not speak against Rome anymore. You probably heard that. If you want the actual quotation, I can get it to you, tell you where you can read it for yourself online. It's public record. It is blogged. He was under sworn testimony when he said it. Okay, the man's name was Neil C. Wilson. He was vice president of the General Conference at that time. Because he did such a good job, they gave him the job of president. And then, of course, because he did such a wonderful work, quote unquote, his son got to become president. And he is just as bad, if not worse, actually worse. Yeah, I said it, and I'm going to say it again and again, because they are. The things they have done is destroying this movement, is destroying the truth that God has given to us as a people. And many people are not aware because there's not enough voices raising their voices and protesting against it. Brothers and sisters, if you want the seal of God, I encourage you, number one, read what it says in Ezekiel chapter 9. Read 8 first, then 9. Read it. Understand what's taking place and then why the Lord tells those angels, don't put a mark on anybody unless they're sighing and crying for all the abominations that are done there. Then you read what Jesus did in Matthew 23. Read what John the Baptist said. Read what Elijah did, right? Okay, calling the people to true reform and worship of God. Read what Jeremiah did. Friends, read the book of Jeremiah and read it carefully. Read it carefully. Jeremiah was a Protestant big time. Oh man, this man was amazing. And then read what it says in Great Controversy. Read the chapter, the protest of the princes. In volume 4 is chapter 9. I don't know what it is in the bigger Great Controversy. You have to look it up. I don't have that one in front of me right now. Read what it says there. Read the Review and Herald article, volume 2, page 48, June 1, 1886. I gave you that several times, that reference. Read what it says there. Understand this, my friends. Jesus was a Protestant. Do you want to follow him? Jesus says, follow me. He called his disciples, each one. He said, follow me. And friends, if we are going to follow Jesus in spirit and in truth, you will be, I will be a Protestant. And hopefully, if we remain faithful, we'll receive the seal of the living God. May God help us to be serious about our walk. We have no time to waste. Are you all familiar with what's happening in Texas right now? Are you familiar with the fact that the president has told Texas, you have 24 hours to do what I tell you to do, If not, I'm sending federal troops down there. And if need be, there's going to be a war. Friends, we're on the verge of a civil war right now. Texas has until tomorrow morning to comply with President Biden's dictate. He said, you got until 24 hours, and that started, I think it was this morning or sometime, but it ends tomorrow. And Texas, the governor said, we're not doing anything you tell us. We're going to do what we want to do. We this is our land, this is our state, and we're not allowing these people to come in anymore. And Biden said, yes, you are. You take down that wire, you let them come through, and you let my government agents go back and take care of this. Well, they were letting them come through like water flowing through the border. And Texas government said, that's enough of that. No, no, no. And so Biden said, okay, you got 24 hours to comply. Friends, I don't know what's going to happen, but I tell you one thing. I think it's strange that they're having a movie coming out in March called Civil War. Premise is that Texas, California, and 8 other states concede from the Union, or secede from the Union, I'm sorry, secede from the Union, and the federal government gets mad, and they start bombing Texas and California, and they send troops in there, and there's a civil war starts to take place. But you know what's going to happen if this occurs? It won't just be Texas and California. All these southern states are going to join in. Because they're going to say, no, remember, states' rights. That's what the Civil War was about in the first place. They said states' rights. That wasn't. It was slavery. They wanted the right to keep slaves. And there's a lot of people in this country who have thousands and tens of thousands of rounds or hundreds of thousands of rounds of ammunition. And they are biting at the bit for war. They can't. I know some of these people. I've talked to them. They say, look, if this thing jumps off, we're ready. Now, I don't care if they got a uniform or not. I will shoot to kill. And these people train every week. Every weekend they go out to the range, and they practice firing high-powered weapons. I'm not talking about these little tiny things people carrying around. These people have machine guns. They have those big 50-caliber guns. If you shoot somebody with that thing, there's nothing left except their boots. These things will blow you to pieces. And these are men, women, and even their children. Know how to use this stuff. They are little girls. They can fire shotguns, AR-15s, 9mm pistols, all kinds of stuff. Uzi, you name it, they can shoot it. And these kids can shoot straight. They won't use it. This is what's happening, my friend. Yeah, I'm telling you. You can see it. It's on YouTube. They got them all over the place. They're training. They're getting ready. They says it's going to happen. And what is we other people doing? Sitting around, being entertained, having Janet Jackson concerts in the church, and the pastor jumping around dancing like James Brown or somebody. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. We ought to be weaving between the porch and the altar. Lord, help us. We have a work to do. We have a message to give to the world before it's too late. We must get busy. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. Be praying about this because this is a very serious thing. I don't know if you heard about it, but it's there. Go look it up. Just go look it up. You'll see it. My daughter and I were just talking about that before I got on the call. She said, Daddy, did you hear what's happening in Texas? I said, yes, sweetheart, I have. I have a friend who lives there, and I asked her, I said, what are you guys doing? I haven't heard from her yet. But I know one thing. I know they have lots of weapons. She told me. She said, my husband used to be a police officer. She said, he can get anything he wants. These people have hand grenades. They got you'd be surprised what they have. The thing is, we must cling to Psalms 91. We must cling to Psalms 91. May God help us to make the right decision and do the work that he's called us to do at this time. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share tonight. Lord, I pray that no one is discouraged, but rather that we will flee to you, the Most High God, our only safety, Lord. You are our strong high tower, and that you have promised us that if we call upon you, you will hear us. And that you will speedily save us. Lord, I pray that you help, that there be no conflict as this issue down in Texas, and that this will be resolved without bloodshed and without violence. So please be with us now as we move more toward the Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Cherry. I did not know about what's going on in Texas, but before we open the line for questions or comments, I just wanted to read 1
1 Peter 2:9, as protection, we are also peculiar people. It said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, out of sin into righteousness. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you again. This was a beautiful message and well well put together. And thank you. I've learned a lot. And still learning. We're all still learning by the grace of God. So brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us. Please press 1 if you have a question regarding what was presented. I know it was a lot, and it was very powerful. Please press 1 if you have a question regarding what was presented, or you have a quick comment to share. Please press 1 on your telephone keypad so that I can open your line. I see six three one five five two. Your line is now open. Amen.
I want to thank God for his grace and mercy.
Okay. Amen.
And thank Brother Cherry for that presentation. Yes, there are a lot of stuff going on. I've been seeing it myself. And just the other day I was watching a video with one of the Border Patrol officers. And they asked him in the video, they were interviewing him, and they were asking him why people are streaming in. He said, ask the big guys. I can't do nothing. They, as they come in, they give them a check of money order of $3,000 as they come through the border. $3,000 they give them. And they process them. But guess what? A non-immigrant can vote. 10 states. New York is one of them. You understand? 10 states have passed a law that immigrants can vote. And people are eating out against it. But we know who's behind this thing. We want to know, we want to identify who's behind this. Satan is behind it, and the system that he set up on earth, the papacy, they are behind all these things. I have to remember, the president told you that he still has his Catholic background. So you know what happened. You know what happened. Because I did a presentation the other day, and I share who this Pope is that is running America, that is running, that everybody's opening up their gates to. It's a Jesuit. He's a Jesuit Pope, and everybody thinks that he's Christ's vice regent on earth, and he's going around speaking, but he's a part of the dragon system. So as this presentation, go and do your research for yourself. Great things going to happen in America, great things. And as Brother Church does, civil war is imminent. Just the other day I saw an article, guns. Last year, December, was the ammunition was the largest ammunition and gun sales in America. They are buying up all the guns and they are buying up all the ammunition. But we know ammunition, the weapon of our warfare is not gone. It is the word of God. So as we hear this message tonight, let us be serious. There are a lot of apostasy going inside the church right now. We can't be silent. So that's the week between the ark and the and tell the abomination that is done. We cannot be silent now. And I tell people, anytime I go up to speak, I'm not going to speak a man's message. I'm going to speak a thus saith the Lord. Because Christ is about to come. Christ is about to come. And we can't can't be like the world. We have to be separate from the world. So I pray that as you hear this presentation, I pray that it will imbue to you wisdom and you follow Jesus Christ. Don't follow nobody but Jesus Christ. But the Lamb, right? As I was listening, somebody sent me an article that the conference in charge of Religious Liberty Department will be coming to Queens. I wanted to go to him, honestly. I wanted to ask him some questions pertaining to what is going on. But I said, no, let me leave it. You know, but I know that they're not saying nothing about the papacy. Everything is us with the papacy because they're in ecumenical meetings. So all you can talk about something that you're in. But a lot of stuff is coming out. A lot of stuff is coming out. T.D. Jakes is in the mess too because, you know, a lot of people follow him and thinking he's just holier than thou. He's at all of the celebrity parties with naked women and a lot of filthy liqueur and all these things and come up and ask understand the most. And even Adventists listening to his message, he's a part of Babylon. We don't need his message. So thank you, Brother Serge.
Amen.
Thank you so much, brother, for your words. I appreciate that very much. I just learned some things I didn't know. So thank you. Did you record your presentation?
Yes, I did record it. It's on Morris Park SDA Church two Sabbaths ago.
What church?
Morris Park SDA Church.
I'll send it to you, Brother Cherry.
Okay, thank
I'll
you.
Send it really, the title is really just Liberty Threatened, Solemn Times.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Carla. Thank you, brother. God bless.
Yes.
Be faithful.
Continue
standing strong, brother. Your Lord needs army. You need soldiers.
Amen.
Soldiers.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else has a comment or a question? So before we close, brothers and sisters.
While somebody maybe, while someone, is someone there?
Yes, I have a couple hands up.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you
go
need
ahead.
To? 786-448. Good evening. Your line is open.
Good evening, Sister Carla. Thank you so much for opening my line.
Amen.
Yeah, that is a powerful message, Elder, regarding the straight testimony. And we as God's people, especially the SDA Church, whenever the church is doing anything, how dare the ministers to call the sins of the church out. And we as God's people, many do not study, just want bench warmers. You know, it's a SDA. Mm-hmm. Many think SDA means sitting down always. They are not studying. Mm-hmm. Whatever the minister said, they go after. And mm-hmm. whenever apostasy in the church and you stand up, they hate mm-hmm. you.
Mm-hmm.
I am red flag among a lot of church, my brother. And I mm-hmm. love to hear a message like this. So may the Lord continue to be with you and bless your ministry and your family. And also, you know, there's a lot of things going on because you see all of these people coming from the border because America is in drug dealership or whatever, the child trafficking
mm-hmm.
regarding
mm-hmm.
Mexico. A lot of Mexican mm-hmm. cartels is coming over here. They are the
mm-hmm.
ones that are going to also, these foreigners coming over here are going to push and provoke the Americans to go into civil war because a lot of
yeah.
foreigners are going to be
mm-hmm.
in it. And also a lot
yeah.
of Adventists getting up guns and whatever, and I'm telling them, listen, if you're going to get a gun and you think you're going to go into that civil war, your soul is already, you're already lost. You ain't going to make it
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
our fate is going to be twisted. Our weapon is not ammunition. Our weapon is the word of God. We're going to be tested,
mm-hmm.
dearly brothers and sisters. But God tell us,
mm-hmm.
when these things going to happen, he said he's going to open up the whole, he's going to let heaven loose. All of the angels are going to come at our head.
Amen.
And those of you who are listening to Brother Cherry tonight and you hear this message, brothers and sisters, some of us are still in the city and so many years we are hearing the message. We are hearing this thing and we are not taking heed, brothers and sisters. If this civil war hit, you are doomed. I'm sorry to tell you, but we need strong men to tell God's people this truth. Brothers and sisters,
Amen.
Some of us in the city think that whatever this civil war is going to happen, Elon Musk said, he make a statement said 2024 going to be one of the roughest.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Ross just said he have his bunker with all of his food and how many bedrooms and garage. Mark Zuckerberg make building a $100 billion nuclear bunker. What is going on? What they know
mm-hmm.
that we do not know. We
mm-hmm.
have this message for many years. 70 Adventists, we are catching up. And the church, we said the General Conference is the storehouse. How is it that the General Conference cannot, the members who are paying their faithful tithe to get out of the city? Wake up. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Man, sister, you should have gave a message tonight. Man. You're so right.
That was Brother Ricardo. Thank you, Brother Ricardo. Amen. Amen.
Sorry, thank you. Oh, that was Brother. Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
can
it's
I
okay,
say
Brother
something
Ricardo.
Real quick?
Mhm. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. You know, Elon Musk said 2024 is going to be the roughest year, and like that. And I told you there's movies coming out in March called Civil War. But what's interesting is several years ago, they made a movie called The Book of Eli. And Denzel Washington was the star in this movie. And the story basically is he's taking something from the East Coast to California for safekeeping. And he carries it in a backpack, and people are trying to get it from him. And he's fighting and killing and all like that to get it there. And what the book, what it is, they call the Book of Eli, what it is, it's the last King James version of the Bible in existence on the planet Earth. And he is taking it to a place like a library where it will be kept because there's no more in existence. And the one guy who's trying to get it says, the reason why I want this book, because he said, this book has power. It's the only book in the world that can control mankind. That's what it says. But in this movie, there's one scene, and he just a lady told me this the other day. She said, did you ever see the book of Eli, movie Book of Eli? I said, yeah, I did watch it once because I remember he was on a TV show. He was talking about, you know, he said he wants people to get the King James Version of the Bible. He and his wife give them out to people. Somebody told me that he actually did go to Adventist Church for quite a while. I don't know if you all knew that, but he did. Denzel Washington, in fact, I have a friend of mine who knows him personally. They grew up together. But anyway, in that movie, in one scene, there's a poster on the wall, and it says on this thing, Civil War 2024.
Wow.
And this movie was made probably maybe 10 years ago now, something like that. And on the wall, there's a poster that says Civil War 2024. And what are movies coming out now? Civil War. That's the name of the movie, Civil War 2024. You can watch a clip of it on YouTube, and it talks about why the Civil War got started and everything. Why did they make this movie a long time ago and use that date? Then they come up with a new movie now, use the same date, same year, and you have the stuff going on in Texas right now, and they're talking about it's a possible Civil War. And why did they wait till 2024 to start doing this? Because this has been going on for over a year. Texas has been talking about leaving the Union for quite a while, but I waited until now to make a bigger issue out of it. Okay, I'm stunned. Just want to put that in your ear. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Yes. Amen. We have. Do you have time for a couple more questions? We have some hands up or comment. And hopefully the line won't.
I'll be as long as you want.
Hopefully the line won't cut off on us. So brothers and sisters, yes, please be brief. Thank you. 518-951. Your line is now open.
Okay. This is Sister Powell. I just want to thank my brother for this message. And this message bring light to us that what is happening amongst us and in our church is happening. And with evil, we may be on this life. These things is happening. And I thank God for this message. And I'm asking my dear beloved brother if he could come back with a part two, you know. Mm-hmm. This was the message that we started this group with, Advent Light. We were getting this meat, right, not milk, you know. Mm-hmm. And we are so grateful and thank God that God opened the heart of our dear beloved brother, that you could come and present it to me, because I am so blessed. It have been happening to me even Wednesday while I was at church, and we were talking about the selling in the church, what they are doing to raise funds to help build the soup. They are selling in the church suck and sugar and water and cake, and I was there speaking with them. And they were, what, you know, like they were trying to kill me right there. You know, this is the only way. And the elder came in and said, what Sister Powell is saying is this from the Bible and spirit of prophecy, that the church is not supposed to take the church and make a gambling house. And I'm so grateful this evening. So thank you, my dear beloved. And I do hope that we will get a part two in this message.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. Love you, sister. Thank you so much. And please always give God thanks, not me. Thank the Lord. I got to tell you something, friends.
Yes.
I almost called Sister Carla and told her I wasn't going to do this tonight because I'm very tired. I haven't slept good at all this week, and I just didn't have any energy. And I said, Lord, I'm tired. I don't really feel like being on tonight. I'm going to call her and cancel. And the Lord said, no, you can't. I said, well, Lord, you got to strengthen me because I have no strength. I have no energy. I don't feel like talking tonight. Please give me some strength. Please. And I got on my knees and I was praying. And as I started talking, I started getting, now I'm hyper. Now I can't slow down. So
praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I'll probably be up for the next 2 hours, 3 hours. I won't be able to go sleep for a while now. But I just thank the Lord that he allowed me to share this with you and give God his thanks. And, yes, I would love to do a part two if that's the Lord's will and he allows me to do it. I would be happy to do it.
Amen. Amen. So we have two more hands. Yes, brothers and sisters, pray for Brother Cherry and give God thanks for him, for using him and for him to stand true to God's word. So pray for him and his family. Amen. 347. 622, your line is now open.
Yes, I would like to find out about Texas and California. I did not get there that sentence about what did they exit from?
No, this is the movie. In the movie, it says the premise of the movie is that they don't want to be a part of the United States. They want to be a separate, independent by themselves. No contact, no control by the federal government. That's called secession.
Okay.
When a state says, we don't want to be a part of the union anymore, they secede from the union, they leave it. That's what happened in the first Civil War. Remember, the South said, we don't want to be a part of the United States anymore because we don't want you telling us what to do. And that led to the Civil War. And that's what is happening now. Texas says, we don't want you telling us what to do. If we want to close our border, that's our business. And the president says, no, you're going to do what I tell you to do. You belong to the United, you're part of the United States. They say, well, then we'll just drop out. We're cutting ties with you. We don't have to do with you anymore. And Biden says, oh, you want to be like that? Okay, now I'm going to flex my muscles. I'm going to send the federal people down there, and if you don't let them do what I tell them, what they're supposed to do according to my dictates, there's going to be a problem. So in the movie, in the movie, 10 states secede, and it's all the southern states, Texas and Alabama, you know, all those, plus California. And then they talk about how they send the jets to bomb the state and stuff like that, and they got troops shooting at people. And it's man, I tell you, the little brief trailers, they call them trailers. Gosh. I said, man, if this goes down, this is going to be a nightmare.
It's a movie, right?
Yes, ma'am. It's
a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
thank
it comes out in March.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Okay, amen. Brother Cherry, we have two more hands. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you have another speaking engagement next? Did you want to do part two next week, or you have another speaking engagement?
No, I don't have anything lined up for next week. Not until February. I'm going to Indianapolis in February. I just got asked to do that today. But, no, nothing's lined up.
Okay. So we'll pray that you, God will continue to strengthen you and uphold you so that you can do it, do the part two next week. And I'll go ahead and open the line for 225-337. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to say brothers, brother Ricardo, brother, the other brother, and brother O'Neill.
Brother Cherry.
I am so happy to hear my brothers coming out and speaking what we need to understand. And first of all, I want to get that scripture you was, that prophecy you was talking about, but I want to just comment on these things. Now, in Louisiana trying to separate one city, and they want to become their own city, and that's in the city where this big Catholic church at, and they want to become their own city. So we are here, and now that you're telling us that Texas and California want to become their own, say, for instance, Texas big, like a country, want to become their own country, separate from the United States, this is big. And we are hearing these things, and I'm telling you, with all of the fentanyl and with all of these changes going on, killing people, just to get rid of so many. Brother, you have brought an on-time message tonight. I want to thank, and Brother Ricardo, I listened to his message, was listening to his message today, and come to listen to you. And we heard Brother O'Neill last night. These are the things should be in our ears. I don't know about anybody else, but I like the truth and the word of God. So I'm grateful that that you will come again and give more. And everybody that's given us updates in these times. So as I share this, I share this with my family. But you know what? I had many of them say, oh, but that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. People are going to kill if that happens. I say, okay, you know what? Just like brother, the brother said, I'm just leave them alone. I ain't going to tell them no more because, you know, they're not hearing it. So thank you so much once again, all three of our brothers that bring
Amen.
Okay. God bless. And I hope the Lord continue to pour in more because it's happening soon. We don't know. But as you all warn us, you are blowing the trumpet. So keep it up, brothers. And we are here listening. Amen.
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 I would like to ask those two other brothers that we should get together, brothers, and put together a presentation, all three of us, you know, different aspects. I think that would be wonderful.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I can get you their contact and give them your contact. So praise the Lord. Message in progress. So I have another line. 7-8, and this is last line that I'll be open. 786-448, your line is now open.
Thank you again, Mr. Carla. Yes, brothers and sisters, brother Cherry is telling you all regarding Texas. Remember this movie that just come out by Obama and Michelle, Left the World Behind?
Yes.
What the United States that turned against its own citizens. So we start to fight against each other. Notice one of the saying that's in the movie say, white people cannot be trusted. Why are they saying that? In the movie, you have to realize it was a cyber attack, and these white people, they go on vacation. The woman don't like people, whatever. And this black man and his daughter show up. And they never want to let them in. And he will say, this is my house. And he asked, or give them the money, the rent back and whatever. So they are showing you their agenda. And brothers and sisters, something going to happen this month, this year, September. It's coming, brothers and sisters. Somebody give me, I can't give you too much details, but somebody say, brother, you better look. September, all of this year is going to be chaos. Brothers and sisters, make sure you make your calling an election. Sure, brother, my brother, I just want to thank you so much to sound the alarm. Yes, we have to link up because God is looking for faithful men. Brothers and sisters, I'm ready to die for this message. Because listen, God called me as a layman. I am, and you all know, an Advent light. I'm not a mambe pambe minister. I'm gonna tell you the truth. Come with me, Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ricardo. Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, you got to make your calling an election sure, and you have to get out the city's not. To hide is to draw closer to God, is to commune with God, and to live like kings and queens for a while, and to help others plant your own food. Even the food is not healthy. People are losing their mind, you know, over the food that they're eating, and you know the inoculation that was given. A lot of things is going on in the city. We see families committing suicide. All type of manner of evil is happening, and the world is getting worse, and the Bible is coming true. It's playing out right in front of our eyes. I see Brother O'Neill's hand just raised. Let me open your line, Brother O'Neill. Amen.
And Sister Carla, I'm going to send you a video, and I want you to put it on the Block Talk radio, like before you can play it before you start, after you start, 7 o'clock, and people can listen to
it. Yes, it has to be an audio.
See, I'm going to try to get it in audio. That video, that audio, okay, I can get it in audio. as America,
okay,
as a corporation, America as a corporation, and then you see a lot of stuff that is up.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, brother.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, Brother Ricardo. Amen. And each and everyone, thank you for joining. May the Lord continue to bless you. Give us one closing prayer, Brother Chariot, before we all go.
Okay. Father in heaven, I thank you in Jesus' name for the wonderful opportunity to gather with brothers and sisters this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the message that you sent. Lord, you know I was tired and felt unprepared, and I'm glad that the Holy Spirit took over, Lord, and that's the way it should always be. For you, only you can reach the mind and the heart and let us know what we really need to know and prepare us for the time that is soon to come upon us as an overwhelming surprise. Lord, I pray that you will put into each of our hearts that burning desire to spread the truth, Lord, and to be true Protestants in every sense of the word, that we might alarm your people, sound the trumpet, give it that certain sound so that people know the enemy is trying to come in and we should raise up a standard against him. Please, Lord, may we all have a good night's rest. May we get rested, and tomorrow morning when we wake up, may we wake refreshed and maybe have the right state of mind to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let your Holy Spirit guide and keep us. And, Lord, if we need to be a help to someone, please show us what we can do. And thank you for this opportunity again tonight, and bless everyone and bless the moderator. And may the line continue to stay open so we can use it as long as possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Brother Cherry, and we hope to hear you back here next week or the week after next as God lead. And thank you again, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Have a good night. Happy Sabbath to you and your family. Amen.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. Good night.
Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am. Redeemed.